All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Looks like we got some people back to church this Sunday, so it's good to hear that people are starting to get well and the weather's changing, the sun's starting to come out a little bit. We're starting to feel some of that Texas weather that I've been missing a little bit. And so good to see all of y'all here. So me and Chris, we started this series last week, just going through one of the passages in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost. And so Chris, he started us off last week by telling us about relating it to the parable of the sower and how when we spread the message that Jesus testified to during his life on earth and he proclaims to the disciples to go out and preach this same message, it says that the hearers who heard this message were cut to the heart, right? And so they really empathized with the way with all the things that Jesus had done for us to save us and to bring salvation. And so we start to see kind of this renewed hope that Jesus brought coming into the world, and now we can go out and spread that message. And so today, I'm going to hit on the next part of this section concerning some instructions that we can have going forth from here. So we have now heard the message. We were cut to the heart. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We know he is Lord and Messiah. Now what do we do now? This is where we're at, and let me remind you again, this is the day of Pentecost, and so everybody has just had this weird experience speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit has come upon them, and everybody's hearing words being spoken in their own language, their own home language, and so that must have been a weird experience for them. And we hear very early on that somebody makes, one of the Pharisees makes an accusation, oh, well, somebody must be drinking this morning, and Peter rebukes him, and he says, no, 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 we don't start that until later, it's only 9 in the morning, right? And so, this day is already kind of weird enough, and so, starting out, Peter kind of builds this case around Christ, and how Christ did all of these things to fulfill prophecy, and he came, and we killed him, but yet, through that, he saved us. Though we were so awful to him, he died on the cross for our sins. He was a sinless man. And now we can go forth from here accepting that message and spreading it. So I'm going to read through Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. And then we'll go back and we'll just start to dissect this passage. So this is what Chris preached on last week. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. All right, so today we're going to kind of dissect this part about Peter's reply to the people after they ask, brothers, what shall we do? They're seeking an answer. They're seeking an honest answer because they're like, oh my gosh, we crucified the Lord and the Messiah. Surely we're damned to hell at this point. But Peter says, no, I've got a different message for you. And Jesus, in fact, he preached this message early on in his ministry. So these people are hearing it for the first time coming from Peter's mouth, one of the apostles. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right, so right here, we kind of see two things, right? We see repent and be baptized. Those are the two instructions that Peter gives to them. We're very familiar with these terms. But think back to this time when these people heard this message. They're probably thinking to themselves, what exactly does it mean to repent and be baptized? What is this whole idea of baptism? Maybe some of them had heard it before. We know John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the forgiveness of their sins. But here, that idea of baptism just hasn't quite gotten around. It hasn't become quite normal to them. And so they're like, oh, so we're just supposed to submerge ourselves in some water, and that's supposed to signify our allegiance to this new covenant. And I think that's exactly what Peter's getting at right here. He says, repent and be baptized. And so in light of what we're talking about today, I did a little fun research just talking about, since this is kind of the instructions that Peter gives them in joining the new covenant. I went on the internet and I looked at some bizarre rites of passage for different tribes and different covenants around the world, and I wanted to share some of them with you guys. So the first one, which I found to be pretty interesting, this is a tribe called the Vanuatu Land Divers, okay? And just like the name suggests, these people, their initiation to get into this tribe, they would have young boys climb a 98-foot tower and tie vines around their ankles. And then they would dive off of the tower, reaching speeds of up to 45 miles an hour. And then if the initiation went right, the vines would catch onto something. And the closer they got to the ground before death, that proved all the more that they were one of the chosen ones to be a part of the tribe. Or it also proved their manlyhood. And so I thought that was super interesting, and the picture I saw on the internet was quite interesting as well. All right, here's another one. Here's another one for you guys. This one's called the Sater Mawe tribe. And this one has a little more humor in it. It says young men will they will meet up with some older guys, a part of the tribe, and they would go about sticking their hands in mittens that were full of bullet ants. And then they would hold their hands up in the air, and they would dance around for 10 minutes while these bullet ants were biting their hands. Really weird thing. Don't know what exactly that proved, but it says that some of these boys even repeated this to show their manlyhood later on, and so this must have been a pretty common practice. And fun fact, the sting of one bullet ant bite is said to have been 20 times worse than that of a wasp. So just one bite from a bullet ant is like getting stung by 20 wasps, and these guys are sticking their hands in mittens full of these bullet ants. Count me out for that. And then here's one that little more of a modern context. This one happens to be at a university, probably in Europe. It says the Edinburgh University. There was a rugby club over there, and it says part of the initiation to join the rugby club was that all the people wanting to join the club would get nude, and then they would play rugby with a chicken, a live chicken. And so, yes, yeah, super weird. But all these initiations, like we look at them and we think that's super strange. Why must they go through this to be considered part of this new movement, this new club, this new covenant or whatnot? And so part of me wants to think that maybe that's what some of these people at Pentecost are hearing whenever they hear repent and be baptized. Makes a little more sense to us today because we know the significance of that repentance and baptism. We've been preaching that for centuries now. And this is the first time we're really hearing this preached, and the first time that the apostles are really instructing people, like, this is what we're going to do to take the necessary steps to begin to follow Jesus. And so it's not unlikely that some of these people thought this idea of repentance and baptism would have been a little crazy, like the rugby and the land diving. But nonetheless, this is what Peter says is what we must do really to follow Christ and to essentially receive the benefits of being a part of this new covenant. And so the second thing, like I said, we got two instructions, and now on the opposite side, we have two sort of benefits, two things that we will receive once we begin to take these steps to follow it out. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's one. And then the two, it says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here, this is what we see. We see two blessings that we get if we follow these instructions through. We will, one, be forgiven of sins, and two, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first one, the forgiveness of sins, that's they've probably heard that one a little more commonly, at least in this time period, because we know John the Baptist, he was baptizing people in the Jordan River, and he was doing it so for the forgiveness of their sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And so some of them who have seen John baptizing people, maybe even being baptized by John, they're familiar with this concept of being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And of course, it's always in the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's something that we're stressing. But the difference here now is now that Jesus has died, resurrected, and ascended, is now we get to take part in the ministry that he was doing on earth, and we get to live out that mission that he's calling us to. And so we, in turn, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which I think, in a broader sense, qualifies us as people, as sinful people, as imperfect people. It qualifies us to go out and proclaim the message and to make Jesus' name known and to actually make salvation possible through what Christ has done for us. And so that's the second thing. We see first the instructions given, right? Repentance and baptism. And then two, we see the results of those, right? And something else I wanted to highlight is, like, this whole idea, like, after they have heard this, after they've heard these instructions and they understand the result of it, Peter then goes on to say that the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's saying, like, this is not just a promise for you guys hearing it today. It's for your children. It's for other sinners. It's for Gentiles. It's for the greater sinners. It's for the lesser sinners. It's for everybody. This is a message not just proclaimed to the Jews, not just the people who were descendants of Abraham or descendants of David. This is a message of salvation to all those who are far off. And I think this is super significant, and especially the day of Pentecost, this is really kind of the start of this movement of spreading the news of Jesus Christ to all nations and to all people, not just the select few. And so, with that, we know that some of these people are thinking to themselves, like, wow, this is such a big step of faith, or such a big leap of faith. I mean, I'm supposed to repent and be baptized. I'm supposed to submerge myself in water, and then I receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, and my sins are forgiven. Some of them, sometimes what we think today, like, after we've been baptized, is we want to stop there, right? We want to stop there, like, hallelujah, I'm saved. But as we'll see, as Chris will preach next Sunday, we're going to see that there's kind of a next step in following that out. And I'm going to kind of get into it here in this next passage, starting in verse 40. He says, "With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Okay, and so obviously, this is a choice for these people to follow Jesus. They have to accept the message. They have to believe it to be truth. And then they have to go out and testify to that of that truth and witness about Jesus. And so, like I said, it's a big, big, huge leap of faith. But ultimately, like I said at the beginning of this message, like, this is kind of the start of a renewed hope that Christians now have that they can hope for later on down the road. And this is not just something that we constantly have to atone for with sacrifices. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and we can accept that and live out our lives with confidence and boldly and make Jesus' name known no matter how broken we are. And so with that, after reading verse 40, we see that 3,000 were added that day. 3,000 people accepted the message that day. And I think it's good to notice the number here, because this is kind of the first time that we're seeing a mass quantity of people accept the gospel and be baptized and be saved, right? So the day of Pentecost in itself is just a super important, super significant event, and we see 3,000 people added this day. And what I was thinking in my mind was something that John said in his gospel. So I'm going to turn to John 17, but it pertains to what Jesus says about those who follow him and the results that they would produce as being as followers of Jesus. So let me turn there. It's in John chapter 17, verse 16. This is when Jesus is praying for his disciples. Jesus says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." Maybe I'm not in the right place. Okay, I'm not in the right place. Anyways, but Jesus says in John's Gospel somewhere that there will be people who do greater things than I do. And it's weird for us to think of that in light of all the things Jesus did. I mean, he performed miracles, he healed people, he casted out demons. But in light of the great scheme of things, Jesus ultimately says that there's something even greater coming down the road, and that's the church. He says there's going to be a massive movement, there's going to be a big breakthrough in bringing people to Christ and saving people and adding numbers to the kingdom of heaven. And I think right here is exactly where we kind of prove that, or Jesus proves that point during his ministry as it pertains to John's gospel. And so the last thing that I want to point out to you guys is this is really kind of the start for discipleship. The day of Pentecost, we see right here that 3,000 were added and people begin to go out and they begin to preach this message. And so this is kind of the start of discipleship. We haven't quite gotten to the evangelism part yet. Chris is going to address that in the next sermon. But right here, we begin to see the groundwork for discipleship and kind of the steps that we need to take constantly to begin to continue to follow in these steps that Jesus is wanting us to follow, that Peter has addressed in this. So repentance and baptism, very important. And then through that, we continue to live out our faith with confidence. And then we begin to disciple others. And so with that, I just kind of want to conclude with a story about St. Patrick. I know St. Patrick's Day is a little bit down the road, but I couldn't help but, after going through this message, just thinking about the life of St. Patrick, especially since I had to read a book for one of my classes about the life of St. Patrick. But if you know the story, St. Patrick grew up in Britain, and all through his childhood, he was essentially an atheist. He didn't believe in this higher God. He didn't believe in the God that even his parents would follow. And it wasn't until he got captured by a tribe in Ireland, because he was living, I guess, off of the coast of Britain, and it was common that people from Ireland would come over and steal kids and bring them over to Ireland and make them slaves. And so that's ultimately what happened to Patrick. He got shipped over to Ireland, and he became a slave for a master for about a little bit of some years. And through that process, Patrick, growing up in Britain, he was very wealthy. His family was wealthy. He never had to ask for anything. He had all he needed, and he essentially had all he could ever want. And so, just a drastic change of environment. He goes from having everything to ultimately having nothing and having to look out for himself and provide for himself. And maybe 5 years down the road, he ends up escaping Ireland and getting on a ship going back to Britain. And so he's saved. But then later on, just after arriving back home in Britain, he has this vision of God telling him to go back to Ireland, go back to the people by which he had just been captured from. And his whole ministry was in Ireland. He went back to the people that captured him, and he started to, quote-unquote, plant churches. It says in the book, in these barns of people who owned land. And so he made his own church and traveled around the island preaching in barns, making Jesus' name known and making the gospel known. And I just think that's a super, super impactful encouraging thing for us to hear today, is that God does crazy things through the life of individuals to make his name known. And so through the life of St. Patrick, and especially as we will see further on through the book of Acts and the rest of this passage, we're going to see that God makes his name known in some powerful ways, and he makes it known to a multitude of people. So I'm going to close with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the sunshine and the warmth and bringing everybody here this morning. I pray that we would go from here proclaiming your message, Lord, proclaiming the gospel to all people. And I pray that we would do it with confidence and boldly. I pray that every day, no matter what the circumstances, that we would continue to live out our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord. Lord, we know that with trials and persecution, your name just becomes all the more greater to those who witness it, Lord. And I just pray that you would give us the strength to continue to strive for that pursuit, that persistence, to take what comes at us and to make Jesus' name known to all. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dylan. Why don't you all stand as we sing our invitation, Just As I Am. Yeah.